Welcome back to the Leadership and Management Book Talk Podcast. I'm Art Petty. I'm here with my co-host, Wally Bach. How are you, Wally?
I'm working from home. I'm not allowed to leave home. None of us can leave home, and I'm having fun.
Well, the having fun part is great. There are a lot of people out there starting to stress out about this situation of quarantine and stay-at-home type orders. Other than the fact that I can't get a haircut, which is, by the way, becoming an increasingly bad problem for me. I'm pretty good.
Amen to that.
So, hey, we're here today, and the topic, the theme is building your professional library. And I really like this because I actually get questions all of the time. All right, what books should I buy? I want to get started and do that. And I like the idea of thinking about almost starting from scratch and beginning to pull together the different types of books related to leadership and communication, innovation, whatever the category, and helping people get started. So that's what we're all about today. And I know, like, you know, like a well-oiled machine, Wally, we spend exactly 0 minutes collaborating on this. So I can't
zero.
See where you go, and I'll, you know, you may not,
yes.
You may not like where I'm going with it, but I'm going with it.
Well, I already think something's worth saying. You said starting a library from scratch, and I figure anybody who cares enough to talk about building a library has already started one without having a plan. So there's, I mean, non-readers don't want to build libraries.
Yeah. Well, let's give some structure to their professional library.
Okay, let's do that.
A little structure. All right, well, why don't you start off with this structure? What's your blueprint for building this professional library?
I'm going to come at this in a couple of different directions. One is, I think you need, if you're doing management leadership stuff, I think you need a core of a couple of basic books. It doesn't much matter which basic books you have, but you need to have covered the areas of, you know, the day-to-day work that leaders, team leaders and
right.
stuff do. You need to have something, I think, on innovation, and you need to have something on strategy and how you think about strategy.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that I'd say is there are an awful lot of first-rate book lists out there that can give you ideas on where to start. So it's a bit of a combination. You got to have a couple of basics. You need some lists to give you ideas what to do, and then you keep building it by listening to podcasts by Wally Bach and that jerk Art Petty that he talks to all the time.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. It was just way too easy.
I deserved it. Yeah, I think I like that structure a lot. You know, it was interesting. My initial tendency was to think about leadership books. And I always run smack dab into the notion that even though I care deeply about the topic and the behaviors and the development of leaders, it is what I do, I don't like most leadership books. So I don't have really any what one might consider pure leadership choices as part of my blueprint. I do cover a lot from communications, and you know I like books about thinking because I'm still trying to figure out how to do that. So I love those. The same goes for the communication. I'm still trying to figure out how to interface with challenging people such as yourself. So,
oh, wait a minute. So, I have to push the arrow through so the barbs don't rip me coming out.
All right. Well, good. Well, start us off with a first couple of selections for this professional library.
Okay. Well, I'll start with my three, and then I know you've got other stuff that you're interested in because we always come at this in slightly different directions.
Though, that sometimes we meet at the same point, and that's really
sometimes we do.
It's really disturbing.
Sometimes we do. Yeah, my therapist was saying that. Okay, my three basic books. One about the day-to-day work of being a leader at whatever level, team level, crew chief, call center supervisor, up to CEO, probably the Leadership Challenge.
Hmm.
And I've got two reasons for that. Reason number one is that it really covers the waterfront. It covers internal, how you should think, what you do, what you can try, how you can grow, all of that stuff. And it is updated constantly. I think they're up to the eighth edition. I have my copy of the first, which was, are you ready, about 40 years ago.
Wow.
And it's very different and much more reflective of the times we're in now. So That's my leadership recommendation.
Yeah, let me comment on that one. So I didn't pick it, but I like it a lot. And I've actually had the occasion to teach in a number of leadership courses, academic settings here. And I've used a variety of different books. That is the only book that nearly every student who does his or her homework and dives into it and does the reading comes back to me and says, I'm keeping this book. They love it. It's just well received. It is, I think, the best in the kind of all catch-all leadership category. So I'm right there.
Right. Now, there's a bunch of other good books, obviously. And one of the things that I found is that different people have different books that speak to them. I've said here, and you know, you've said similar things about Peter Drucker's Effective Executive, but I wouldn't sit in a library with that. But that was the book that spoke to me. So if you find a book that speaks to you, clutch it, because you'll probably go through, you know, several editions of it or rereads. You want to add anything to the leadership pile?
So mine, you know, it's funny. It's one you and I talked about in, I think, our first podcast. It's not necessarily how to become a leader. It's one person's journey of becoming a leader, and that's General Mattis's Call Sign Chaos. I like that book. I love that book enough that I want it in this starter library.
I think it's a great book. I wish I'd thought of it so I could beat you to it, but I didn't. So I think another advantage of it is that the book has in the appendix his reading list suggestions,
yes.
Which includes military books, obviously, and military strategy books, but also history and biography, a couple of novels. It's really good place to start.
It is, yeah, it's a fabulous list. I think actually you and I had talked about it. I have a personal goal. You were kind enough to type up and send me the list. I have a goal to start knocking one a month off of that list.
Well, good for you, Art. Good for you.
Would this be a good time to highlight that I did, as a kid, read the entire World Book Encyclopedia from A to Z? So I am that.
I think that would be worth highlighting. I can assure you, I did not.
You were probably having fun. I was a nerd.
No, I confess to nerddom, but that would be my leadership start for innovation, which I think you need one of, because there's so much talk about it. My pick is Mapping Innovation, Greg Sattell's book.
Mm-hmm.
I picked that as a starting point because, and all of my starting point books refer to other people's books.
Mm-hmm.
So Sattell covers a lot about innovation and creativity, but he also does a lot with how startups work and how things get applied and what happens when you take the innovation out into the world and what the world does with it. And he's also an excellent writer. So put that together. You'll learn more from that book, I think, than any other book I've read on innovation, even though there are lots of good ones.
Interesting. So I'll throw in my category there. It's Tom Kelly, one of the co-founders of IDEO, and his 10 Faces of Innovation. So this is bringing us back probably 16, 17 years or so. But that was one that I go to, you know, I regularly reference and go to time and time again. So I'd like to see that one in the library.
Okay. Now, neither of us have mentioned Michael Porter. Neither of us. Now, why is that? Because the man is impenetrable. If you're going to read anything of his, don't. There are books out there, and I'll make sure we get a note in the podcast, of people who have written summaries of his books that are better than his books. Okay, it's worth reading those because his language permeates the discussion of strategy-type issues.
Mm-hmm.
But I would stay away from all of those things.
I'm laughing, although since it's a podcast, people can't see that. I'm smiling. I had a book, and I recently donated, and the book's title was Understanding Michael Porter, which two problems jump out at you. One, his book was better than Michael Porter's book, and two, Michael Porter required someone to write a book to explain to you what Michael Porter said.
Right. But Michael Porter also wrote the book on strategy that everybody else references. in terms of language. So you got to get a handle on the language.
I'm going to throw some other books in there over years. I'm not sure.
Okay, let's go with strategy. That's your thing.
Yeah. Well, and I may be stealing your thunder here, because you and I think are both in violent agreement on good strategy, bad strategy. And you share why you think that I like it, because you like to highlight this all the time.
I do. Folks, Art insisted I read the book. He said, it's the best book you'll ever read on strategy. And I said, who's this guy? I've never heard of him. He's never had dinner at my house. What is this? Who could it be? And it turned out that Art was right. And he was right for the same reason he's right about a lot of books. Art really likes books that give you a framework you can apply when you go back to what we laughingly call the real world. Okay.
It's true.
Good strategy, bad strategy will make you better able to create a good strategy, but it will also be a strong preventive against jerk consultants who want to sell you bad strategy.
Right on both counts. And, you know, my experience in recommending good strategy, bad strategy to corporate clients of mine, individuals that are really sharp, but like so many others that are puzzled over what the heck strategy really is, it's like a giant sigh of relief or an epiphany. It's like, oh, I get it now. And that's the effect that good strategy, bad strategy has on people. And they can use the concepts instantly.
Yes. Let me add something else. This is another reason why you want to listen to Art recommends a book, because he's usually right.
Not always.
No, not always. But I'll be sure to remind you.
You will.
But anyway, those are my three, because I narrowed the frame a little bit. You've got some other stuff you want to add.
Well, I do. I'm going to build on the strategy category. In our professional library, being able to think through, you know, how to build an advantage, how to maneuver, how to structure, all of that ultimately is so critical. So I'm adding two from Jeffrey Moore. Jeffrey Moore's Escape Velocity, I think, is the single best book I've ever encountered to deal with the dilemma of that old line company that's suddenly finding itself needing to learn some new tricks in a changing world. So I think Escape Velocity is in there. And then his classic, and I would put it up against Porter's any day, is Crossing the Chasm. And it's his view on what it takes to get a product to marketplace and all of the challenges. And certainly from a Silicon Valley and a technology world perspective, Crossing the Chasm is kind of that go-to Bible. And it's out in the third, fourth edition, something like that. So those are my additions in the strategy category. And I've got a couple of others as well, if we're in the context of building this library. But I don't want to steal your thunder. Do you have another for us?
No, I don't have it. Those are the only specific books I had, except for some things I'll mention later.
Okay. There's always that except with you, Wally.
You betcha.
So on the leadership category, in addition to Call Sign Chaos, I like the book The Thoughtful Leader, A Model of Integrative Leadership. I think that it's Jim Fisher. I believe he's a Rotman, tied to Rotman out there, if I'm not mistaken. And I just think that Fisher does a great job challenging you to look at all of the work of a leader and bringing together the pieces, thus the model of integrative leadership. I'm not sure it actually does have a framework, but I'm not sure you can do anything about the framework, but it does make you think about your work. So it's a thinking person's book. And then speaking of that, I've got a couple on thinking. So Six Thinking Hats by Edward de Bono. I love that for his parallel thinking. I use that concept for facilitation all the time. And one of my favorites, and I just released my own podcast, and I've mentioned it before on one of ours, it's What's Your Problem? To Solve Your Toughest Problems, Change the Problems You Solve by Thomas Waddell Wedelsborg. And it's all about taking a problem and reframing around it. So you and I have chatted on that, the famous slow elevator problem and what have you. I love those. You can take the tools that he teaches and put them to work. With de Bono, you can take the Six Thinking Hats model and put it right to work. So those are my primary starter books in your professional library.
So in addition to starter books, which we have just covered, and I think people will find their own too. I'm thinking back to my library, which was before the explosion of business books, But I picked up books because my boss said, hey, this is a good book, read it. And I'd read a book and see it mentioned in an article someplace, and the article mentioned another book, and so I picked that up. I think in the days of Amazon and podcasts like this and blogs and the rest of it, you've got an ongoing source of ideas. So I'm going to quote my own, I'm only going to review a book or buy it after it's been out there 6 months strategy.
You're stubborn like that, aren't you?
I am stubborn like that. It's increased the quality of my reading tremendously because it's eliminated a bunch of the dogs, but it still doesn't eliminate all of them. Art, you know that I just did a book review of a book that I bought after 6 months that had all kinds of great reviews that I thought had dangerous advice and people shouldn't touch. So it's not a guarantee, but it gives you a chance to get past the my family, my friends, and people I've paid to write reviews folks.
Right, right.
And get some real information or insight from actual people who've read the book who have no connection to the author. Mm-hmm. And to which I would also add, look for the 3-star reviews. Those are usually the ones that give you a lot of balance.
I do. I like the balance. That's funny you say that. That is always my habit, to go right to the 3 stars. I assume the 5 stars are all their friends, and the 1 stars are the people that got a bad shipment from Amazon. So the 3-star reviews are the people that actually have read it and have pros and cons to it. I love that.
Yeah, I think another thing to remember, as long as we're talking about the Amazon reviews, which may be another whole show someday, is that a significant percentage of the people who review books on Amazon have not read the book, at least the whole book.
Right.
And if you do read the whole book, you can tell which ones they are, but you can't tell in advance.
Sure.
So waiting that 6 months, checking out the 3 stars. I love the thing about the people who give it 1 star, the people who got a bad package from Amazon, which I found to be true. Yeah. Would you recommend this book? No, it came ripped.
Exactly.
What?
So let me ask you a question. I mean, you and I share a lot of common perspectives on books. Now, we've just suggested a starter professional library, and we didn't mention any books on biography or books from history.
Okay. Now, I have no idea why you didn't, but I know why I didn't.
Why didn't you?
I didn't because my other recommendation is look for lists of books that other people have put together.
Okay.
And the particular list that I will recommend in a minute or two, all have got those things in it, biography and history and a couple of novels here and there and so forth. So I think they make for a richer library. But man, Art, I would hesitate to try to start filling in. Okay, which biography should we pick? Heck, we couldn't even agree the other week on which Theodore Roosevelt biography we
should
pick.
That is true. And in fact, I have one. So I'm going to go so far as to say that I think that everyone should choose probably a book on Lincoln. And I love Nathan Miller's book on Theodore Roosevelt, A Life. I also have to throw in a third, some book on Churchill. There are a lot of books, and in fact, a lot of people would argue that you should only read the books by Churchill because he was a great writer, and he lived it, and he chronicled it. But I like the idea of challenging our professionals who are building these libraries to be exposed to the trials and tribulations of others that have been there and navigated. And I know you share that similar philosophy. I just want them in our starter library here.
Well, I think you should put them in there. I have a better idea for how to get them there, though.
Of course you do.
Yeah, my idea is there are books and websites and stuff out there that do whole lists of books. Mm-hmm. We already mentioned the reading list in Jim Mattis's book, which is has all of the things that we just talked about and you just highlighted. We'll put in the show notes so people don't have to copy this down. But there's a book called I just blanked, The 100 Best Business Books of All Time, Jack Covert and Todd Statterston. Great, a few years old,
mm-hmm.
but gives you a range of business books, gives you a summary of what those books are about. There's another one called The 100 Best Books of Business Books of All Time. Sorry, I'm getting messed up.
That's the same book twice, Wally.
That's the same. That's the
Are
same
you getting
book
a royalty
twice.
Business on that book?
No, and it's past. I've already worked it. Best Business Books Ever was the other book I wanted to recommend.
Okay.
Same kind of issues. They describe the book and so forth. They get dated after a while. Mattis's book would not be in either of those because it was published a decade or more after either of them.
Mm-hmm.
There is a book called Building a Leader's Bookshelf, or a Leader's Bookshelf, by Jim Stratovis, who's a Navy admiral that's done a bunch of things. And he has his top 50, which he got by surveying senior military leaders. List is really strong on military stuff, as you would guess, but lots of the other stuff we've talked about, novels, biography, history.
So, Wally, I have to ask, you have read, I think, The Effective Executive by Peter Drucker. Your description of the number of times you've been through it, certainly more than...
I read it in print so many times that I wore out 3 copies.
Yeah, it's incredible.
And that I haven't worn out a single copy since I got it digital.
So why isn't that on your list?
I think it's a couple of years ago, I was talking to a young woman who asked me for a recommendation on a good business book to read. And I said, The Effective Executive, it's Peter Drucker's first book. And she looked puzzled. And I said, what am I not getting? And she said, who's Peter Drucker?
Yeah, right.
And if you take that and combine it with the fact that his examples and things are 60 and 70 years old, General Motors under Sloan, and Sloan left General Motors in 1955, for example. I think if you're younger and you start with that, it's off-putting. Mm-hmm. If you discover it later, you can get the actual good points of it and not worry so much about the fact that he talks a lot about General George Marshall, as right. opposed to the Secretary of State, for example. That's why it's not there. And it's why some other books that other people recommend, and incidentally, one of the other places I would suggest, and I'll put in show notes, Michael McKinney, who we both know and who does great work, has got a list of classic leaders' books.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll put the link in the show notes.
Okay,
he's got Up the Organization in his list.
Wow.
And Up the Organization is a great book, but I'm not sure it's a great book for somebody 50 years younger than me.
I think the 1960s called. They want that book back.
They want that book back. Yeah, it was one of the earliest really popular business books.
All right. What about Andy Grove's book? You love that one. I
love Andy Grove's book. I think Andy Grove's book is one that almost anybody can grab. But if I'm talking about the basic books, I think the is more comprehensive and updated.
Okay.
But hey, guys, if you want to read it, High Output Management is one of the best books ever about how to do a good job.
Good. So, what about this issue? From time to time, we talk about it: physical library versus digital library.
Okay. I have both.
Same.
Now, part of this is I don't necessarily want to have a physical library that much because I got limited. But I want to be able to go to your house and turn my head sideways and try to see what you're reading.
Right.
When I see somebody, everybody who's on these Zoom webinar things poses with a bookshelf behind them, and I always want to see what they're reading.
Try to
get things in and then look back there. I like both. What I've found I'm doing now is that business books that I read for business purpose to review or whatever, I prefer digital because I can highlight it. I can share the highlights.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of my reading in history, history, science, biography, stuff like that, I prefer paper. I have no reason for that. It's just how I'm doing it. So what are you doing?
You know, my style is a little bit different and a little bit odd, as my wife tells me. I like all of my business books in digital format, in particular because we can annotate, capture notes, you know, the index cards, whatever. Those are just fantastic ability to do that. But if I love the book, which is rare in the world of business books, if I love the book, I buy the physical copy as well, because I much prefer the ease of the reading experience, the ability to go to specific sections easily and have context and jump around. So I actually do both, but I have to love the book, the business book, in order to get the physical copy.
I think I also do some version of that, because there are books that make me think. They may not be great books. I like Henry Mintzberg's book. Henry Mintzberg's books always make me think.
Sure.
I disagree with him probably a shade more than half the time.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes I find myself shouting at the book. But he's much better for me to read physically than digitally. Uh-huh. But I also, though, and you, I think you know this, maybe not, when I buy a business book, I buy both the digital copy and the Audible, audiobook.
I know that.
And for most of the business books I read, I listen to the audiobook and make notes, which I then highlight on the in the digital book.
Have you cured the phenomena that I fall victim to, which is I can't listen to an Audible book for more than 3.5 minutes and not fall asleep?
Well, I walk when I do it.
Okay.
Okay. My only requirement is there are things I can't do when I'm listening to a book, because I need to have my hand so I can grab my digital recorder and make a note if I want to make it.
Okay.
But I also find, though, that for business books, if they're putting me to sleep, they'd probably put me to sleep if I was reading them.
Fair enough. I struggle with the Audible format. Maybe it's because I mostly try to listen to Audible books when I'm lying in bed. Maybe that's my problem.
Could have something to do with it. What's interesting, doing some research on stuff for my writing clients, was looking at the fact that there is an uptick in people doing what I do.
Mm-hmm.
Buying the Audible book and the print and the digital in business books, and it looks like it's going to be a trend. I'm guessing that what they do is they listen to the book, you know, on the way to work in the car, and then they do their highlights and so forth, and then listen to the book again.
Sure. So, you know, as we kind of cap off this dialogue on starting your library, I mean, look, my perspective on it is look for diverse topics and genres. Get above and beyond just the business category with your starter library. And, you know, if you don't like our suggestions, find those things that you love and make them your own. Make your own suggestions in the process. What are your kind of parting words of wisdom for those starting their professional library, Wally?
Well, I think two things, and then I want to come back to what you said. One thing is, I think you need to look for ways to build the library intentionally. Mm-hmm. Find out who makes good recommendations and so forth, like you do for me, mm-hmm. and listen to those recommendations. And then the other thing is to just, you said it probably better, but the idea that, you know, broaden your scope, broaden the top of your funnel, read a little bit of science and a little bit of history and stuff. Read a novel or two. It's all going to make you better able to be a good leader. And that's really where you want to wind up.
I love it. Well, Wally, once again, this was great fun. I can't thank you enough for being here, for putting up with me, and for going relatively easy on me. You did take a few shots, though, but...
I did.
I'll remember those, and, you know...
I know that. I'm putting a rear-view mirror on my computer to watch where you are.
Take care, be healthy, be good, keep reading, my friend.
You too, Art. Thanks so much.